Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The ongoing battle over recent changes in service, equipment, and policy at the U.S. Postal Service is heating up as states, including Massachusetts, look to prevent the Trump administration from hampering the post office's operations. This is millions of voters prepared to rely heavily on mail-in ballots. Here's President Trump earlier today about to board Marine One, addressing pushback about his recent comments and actions on the U.S. Postal Service.
I have encouraged everybody, speed up the mail, not slow the mail. And I also want to have a post office that runs without losing billions and billions of dollars a year, as it has been doing for 50 years.
Now, in a few minutes, we'll hear from Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey, who is reportedly weighing legal action against the Trump administration alongside other state attorneys general. But first, let's hear from someone charged with delivering the mail under these new changes. John Flattery is the president of Central Massachusetts American Postal Workers Union, Local 4553. John, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Tiziana. Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, John, how are you feeling about everything that's going on right now?
Anxious.
What makes you anxious?
We kind of feel like we're a pawn. You know, we're just waiting to find out what's going to happen to us. I mean, postal workers have had kind of a trying year. I mean, everybody has. I mean, coronavirus, all that. But we worked through Corona, and while we were working through the coronavirus crisis, we were hearing constantly that we were going to run out of money to pay employees in the fall. And then we're dealing with a new postmaster general who's just telling us not to do what we've been trained to do for hundreds of years. So anxious is the best adjective I can come up with.
John, how long have you worked for the U.S. Postal Service?
I started in 1987.
And have you ever felt this kind of anxiety before?
No. Oh, God, no. No.
So when we were in March, you talked about the beginning of this virus and everyone's anxiety about what was going to happen to their families, their communities, the places they worked. Would the USPS have been ready for mail-in voting at that time? And is it more or less ready than then now?
We could handle mail-in voting with no problem at all if people would just let us do what we've been doing for the last 250 years. I mean, Christmas happens every year. We handle that. Mother's Day, Father's Day, you know, I mean, we can handle the volume. It's the people that work for the post office are incredibly, incredibly dedicated to making sure that every piece of mail gets to every address every day. And I mean, with the mail-in elections, it's just, I don't mean to be flippant, but it's just silly to ask. We could have done that with our hands tied behind our backs. And now they've tied our hands to our legs and blindfolded us.
So you do feel hindered and like it may be hard to successfully deliver all the mail-in ballots in time now, John?
I'm not sure what they can do, but I can tell you right now, like I said, for the 33 years I've been with the Postal Service, the mission, like I said, was always every piece, every data, every address. In the last month, that's changed, and now it's pretty much we'll get what we can to you when we can, and it's just hard for people that work for the Postal Service to swallow that they have to look at mail sitting there and say, we want to get that mail to, you know, the public. I mean, that's our job. We're a service. We're not a business. So it's incredibly frustrating to a lot of people to not be able to do their job.
You know, our producer, Paris Alston, John, spoke with a fellow postal worker in the state today, Scott Hoffman. He's the legislative director for the Massachusetts APWU, and the general president of the Boston Metro APWU. Here is his response to those who are worried about whether the post office can handle the influx of mail-in ballots.
We handle billions of more Christmas cards than we would handle ballots during election season. We handle much more, and we get the job done. They're really trying to poison the well and then say, see, you can't drink that water. Well, the water was drinkable before you poisoned it.
I feel like part of what I'm hearing from both Scott there and you, John, is a sense of fierce pride in your work, in what you accomplish every day, and a sense that you're no longer able to do the work the way you want to or with the quality that you want to. Am I hearing that right?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with Scott more. I mean, you know, everything he said, he says it more eloquently than I could ever say, but that's what we feel. I mean, you know, I mean, for years on end, the Postal Service has always been ranked as the most trusted federal agency out of anything. And we have a president now that wants to make people think they can't trust the mail so he can maybe win an election, but it doesn't jive with what's going on. So he has to tell, you know, denigrate the service. Oh, they're horrible. They're a joke. They don't do anything. But in reality, everybody in America, well, 9 out of 10 Americans think that we're doing a great job. So he couldn't do it that way. So now he's going to have his new political hack realize what he's, you know, do what he's telling everyone's going to happen. The post office can't handle it by sabotaging from within. It's yes.
So, John, when you say new political hack, I'm assuming that you're referring to the new Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, who came in June. You've talked about him earlier. I do want to say, John, of course, no one who works for an organization is in favor, usually, of cuts to things like overtime or service levels or equipment. But given that we are in the midst of this huge economic upheaval and there are lots of organizations out there making cuts, aren't cuts necessary in the USPS as well to right the ship?
The Postal Service has been making cuts for the last 14 years. I mean, they've trimmed and trimmed and trimmed until we're down to the bone. And I watched the president gladly give away aid to the airline industry and say, we'll bail them out because they're vital to the American economy. Well, we've given the airlines bailouts before, and all they did was use the money to buy back stock and drive up stock prices and make more money for the people at the top of the airline industry. The people never got it. The workers never got it. You and I never got it. They never made the planes wider. So they've given them money, and they have no problem giving them more, but they wouldn't give the Postal Service money unless we give more control of the Postal Service to the Treasury Department, which is under the control of the president. In 1971, when we had the Postal Reorg Act, and we went
John,
postal,
I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
No, this history is important, but I've got Attorney General Maura Healey waiting, and
she's
I do want to ask you very briefly. So just super fast, what's the most important thing you need that you're worried you won't have to get on mail-in ballots delivered on time?
I'm just worried they're not going to provide the hours and the staffing to handle the mail.
And that is John Flattery, the president of Central Massachusetts American Postal Workers Union, Local 4553. John, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
So now, as I said, for more, we turned to Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey, who is live on the line. A.G. Healey, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, great to be with you.
So I know you heard that last little bit there from postal worker John Flattery of the Central Massachusetts APWU. First, what are your reactions to the changes we've been seeing recently at the U.S. Postal Service?
Well, let me just clarify, too, at the outset and give a shout-out to John. He is more important than I am. You know, our postal workers are essential workers. They're on the front lines. And we talked a lot about essential workers through COVID, and as we face election and as we face voting, Massachusetts and other states are going to be voting by mail in numbers never seen before. And making sure that our postal workers are supported, that our postal operations are supported, is absolutely imperative, because there should be no question about ensuring a fair and safe election, and anything that undermines that, you know, frankly, is a real problem. I'm also hearing, Tatiana, you know, calls from constituents who are really concerned about getting their prescription drug medication, getting their social security checks and the like. And, you know, we just should not be in this place. And so what we've seen by way of Donald Trump's statements about this, I think he's playing this game, this effort to try to sow chaos and undermine people's confidence in the Postal Service to his advantage. We've also seen some actions by the Postal Service. I mean, John talked about longstanding issues with regard to lack of resourcing and funding. We just can't have that happen now. And so the recent actions by the Postal Administrator you know, need to be rectified. We need to make sure that that's functioning and functioning well.
So to that end, there was reporting yesterday and today that your office is considering joining a number of other states to sue the administration. This was after reporting last week, at the end of the week, that Massachusetts is one of 46 states notified by the U.S. Postal Service that mail-in ballots might not be turned in on time. Are you planning a lawsuit, and what would it entail?
Well, let me be clear with the voters here. I want people in Massachusetts to know a few things. One, go vote by mail. Have confidence in voting by mail. The sooner you do that, the better. The second thing is that that letter is similar to letters sent by the Postal Service in the past. Third, we are very focused on what actually is happening within the Postal Service right now. And I know I've been in touch with the Secretary of State's office, with Congress, and with others, including colleagues across this country. We're going to explore all legal tools available to protect the people in our states, including through litigation. But, you know, this is really an approach that has to be multifaceted. Yes, going to court to stop Donald Trump from further undermining our democracy and messing with the way, you know, that the vast majority of voting is going to occur in this country this fall. And number two, supporting the actions by Congress to call for accountability and oversight, as well as actions through Congress and state legislatures to make sure that, you know, our postal service workers are funded, operations are funded, you know, clerks are funded as well. Because, again, this is going to be an election where we're going to be voting in ways and in numbers that we haven't done before. And it's absolutely imperative that everyone who votes knows, regardless of who they're voting for, that their vote is going to be counted.
Attorney General Healy, on what grounds might there be a lawsuit? Where is the illegality in what's happening?
Well, I think this gets down to looking at specifically what's actually happened within the operations of the Postal Office. I mean, John spoke to some of the problems over time. We've seen some change in position, fortunately, I think, in response to, you know, the focused attention on this the last few days, the decision to no longer mess with sorting machines or drop boxes. But, you know, I think that when you're talking about voting, you're talking about a few things. First of all, there's a fundamental right, a constitutional right to vote. And so this raises issues, constitutional issues. There's also certain regulatory processes that the Postal Service should follow if it's going to be either reducing its force, eliminating overtime, and making changes with respect to machines. And, you know, to the extent those processes and those policies, those rules weren't followed, that also raises issues of legality. And so we're pursuing all of this. But again, there's just no need for the American public to have to worry. We've been through enough, you know, and we continue to live through this COVID pandemic. The idea that this president would put into play the operation of something as basic and fundamental and as essential as the U.S. Postal Service is really shameful. And that's why,
so
you know, I'll be with others to work to stop that.
I do have to ask you, you know, President Trump today reiterated that his goal is to rid the system, the postal system, of funding problems, citing its billions and billions of dollars of debt, somewhere in the order of $160 billion. And the Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, has said he wants to run this more like a business. Why not take steps to improve the post office's efficiency? We are in the middle of an economic crisis. Lots of operations are cutting costs.
That's a joke. I mean, the fact is the Postal Service hasn't had adequate funding for years. And what President Trump has done, particularly by appointing DeJoy, appointing him and then letting him go about this purported effort to make the Postal Office more lean and mean, it's just a joke. I mean, the timing is directly intentional and tied to this election where Donald Trump knows the fact that so many people are going to be voting by mail. And see, you know, you have to be careful here. On the one hand, Donald Trump wants to create a lot of chaos and undermine people's confidence in the mail by voting so that they don't go to the polls by they don't go mail. And again, I'm here to say people should be confident in our Postal Service. I know they're under strain. John just mentioned it, but still, you know, the Secretary of State's office, clerk's offices are working hard here. So, you know, the best thing you can do to fight efforts to undermine your vote is to go vote and make your voice be heard. But at the same time, we do want to make sure that we are exploring everything we need to legally to hold the Postal Service and the administration accountable. So, you know, now is not the time to cut overtime and defund things even further so that there are further delays or problems with the operation of something that is so essential to people's lives, not just for voting, but the day-to-day existence of people's lives. We depend so much on our postal system, and the way the president has made this a political football is just really outrageous.
You talked about the confidence that people can have and should have, the way you want them to feel about mail-in ballots and the election this November. Remind us, what are the safeguards that our state has in place that make you have that confidence and want Massachusetts voters to have it as well?
Well, you know, already and up until August 22nd, people can request. They've either received a vote, an application to vote by mail at home, or they can go online and request one. And then they have the opportunity to fill that out and mail that in. And, you know, these are safe, secure, our clerk's offices are, and you know, polling places there certainly will be as well. So I just want people to know that people in Massachusetts and those who work in the election space are absolutely committed to election integrity, and we're going to do everything within our power to ensure that. But I think given the numbers of people who are going to be voting, you know, to the extent people can get their ballots and get them in, we don't want to have any questions here or nationally about ultimate results. Again, I feel very confident about Massachusetts and the way things have been working and are going to work. But we just want to make sure that, you know, as we head into November, every state is covered and every vote by everyone, again, regardless of who you're voting on, is counted.
And that's Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey. Thanks so much for joining Radio Boston today.
Hey, great to be with you. Take good care.
You too. So let's turn now to Aaron Gordon, a senior writer for Motherboard, which is Vice's tech and science publication. Aaron's been covering the post office during this unfolding controversy. Welcome to Radio Boston, Aaron.
Thanks for having me.
So, Aaron, I know that you heard both the interview with John Flattery of the Central Massachusetts American Postal Workers Union and just now with Attorney General Healey. What are your reactions?
Well, I thought John pretty much said everything you need to know. I thought he was fantastic. He really laid it out. And I think the point he made about, you know, the post office having its resources really slashed over the last 14 or so years is a really underappreciated point. The workforce is now about 77,000 people less than it was about a decade ago. And this is because of essentially austerity measures put into place after the Great Recession, where there's a whole history lesson to go into here, but I think that's really important context for what's going on now, because you hear about the overtime getting slashed, and it's like, well, why was the post office so reliant on overtime to begin with? It's because they were understaffed due to these austerity measures put in place to reduce the staffing numbers.
So, Aaron, the narrative, especially over the last week and a lot of public discourse, has been that the new Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, has imposed new measures, cuts, changes. It sounds like you're saying that's not necessarily the case. Are you saying that a lot of the changes we've been seeing in the last few months are the result of a much longer set of policy issues, challenges, changes? I just want to understand that a little better.
Yes and no. I mean, I think so. The challenges that the USPS faces are definitely long in the making. It's not like the USPS was humming along and Louis DeJoy came around and started smashing things. What is, I think, the slightly more accurate way to put it is the buck kept getting passed, and everyone was hoping they weren't the one holding the bag when it all blew up. And what Louis DeJoy basically came in and is he took everything to its logical extreme is what he's doing. And I think it's noteworthy that to run the post office more like a business is actually very difficult to discern from intentionally sabotaging it. I think there's a very, you know, people are confused. People are saying, you know, Nancy Pelosi is publicly saying that this is an attempt to sabotage the post office ahead of the election, whereas Louis DeJoy is saying, no, I'm merely trying to run it like a business. And I think it's illustrative that those two things are very hard to tell from one another. And that shows how maybe the whole concept that the post office should financially break even and be run like a business while also serving every American has a fundamental contradiction in it that we need to resolve.
So in your coverage, you have not come across anything to make you believe that there is deliberate sabotage going on?
It kind of depends on how you define like almost each of those specific terms, like what is deliberate, what is sabotage. I mean, I think it's very hard to say with any degree of certainty that Louis DeJoy is implementing these policies as a concerted effort, as a conspiracy to help Donald Trump in the election. We don't have evidence for that yet. What we do have evidence of, and even can say with certainty, is that Louis DeJoy is a very reliable Republican donor, a major fundraiser for the party, has been for more than a decade, is a major Trump donor, and he is now making changes to the post office that has resulted in mail getting slowed and people being concerned about its ability to handle the election.
So how does that match up then with the president's open rhetoric attacking mail-in voting? And his comments last week that he wasn't interested in supporting the stimulus bill that would have bailout money for the United States Postal Service because it might enable a more, in his words, universal mail-in voting.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are two ways to look at it. One is to look at it as evidence that he and DeJoy are in cahoots somehow. And the other is that, and the other way to look at it is that, you know, the President Trump says a lot of things, and a lot of times they have absolutely no relationship to reality. And this may be just another case in which he's trying to bend reality to his perception and the way he wants Americans to think about the post office as something that can't handle the election. And then by nature of sowing that doubt, maybe can make it happen, because if he says the post office can't handle the election and starts creating that narrative, then all it takes is for Americans to believe him in order to accomplish the goal he's after, which is to have fewer people vote.
Okay, so with that in mind, given the changes, regardless of what the origin of those changes were, given the changes we've seen in the last several weeks, are there legitimate concerns about mail-in ballots getting in on time?
I agree with what John said earlier in the broadcast, which is that as long as the post office is allowed to do its job, I have absolutely zero concerns about its ability to handle mail-in balloting. I have an article coming out tomorrow about that just like runs some very brief figures. And basically, even if every single American who votes in this election does so by mail, it would and the ballots get mailed over like a roughly 2.5 to 3 week period, both coming out and then going back in. You're looking at something like a 3% increase to overall mail volume, which, as John said, they handle much worse crushes than that during Christmas period, during Mother's Day period. It would be barely a blip on the radar for them. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be vigilant about what is happening at the post office. It doesn't mean we shouldn't pay attention. Voter suppression is unfortunately an extremely real thing in the United States, has been for generations, forever, basically. And it looks like some people would like to use the post office as the latest front in that effort. That doesn't mean that the post office will succumb to those efforts, but it does mean that it's on us as responsible citizens to watch what they're, and you know, as reporters myself, to watch what's going on at the post office, make people aware of what's going on, and make sure that if there is anything that would disrupt the voting process, that people are aware of it. But as of right now, I think the post office can handle it, assuming that, you know, nothing else changes.
So, Aaron, you heard me talk with Attorney General Maura Healey just now. We discussed the possibility of a lawsuit from a number of state attorneys general, the possibility of her choosing to participate in it. Are there legal questions here based on your reporting?
I really don't know the answer to that question. I'm not a lawyer. I haven't really looked into this question as part of my reporting. What I do know is that it's very easy to talk about filing legal challenges. But I did not hear Maura Healey say anything specific about what they're looking into. You know, she spoke very generally, and that's appropriate for the stage they're at. But I would certainly be interested once they file something to read what their lawsuit says. But at this point, I think they're looking at this just as broadly as everybody else is.
So, Aaron, a couple of questions for you in our remaining time. You know, other than the mail-in voting question, there are people who rely on the post office for all kinds of important things, prescriptions, other necessities, especially in rural areas. So putting mail-in voting aside, if post offices continue to be fractured, what could be the long-term implications for people's lives?
Yeah, I think that's really the super important question here that is getting brushed aside a little bit by all the focus on the election. Not to say that we shouldn't be asking those questions, but just think about small businesses, people, you know, veterans who are disproportionately get their medication by mail because that's how the VA distributes medication. Delays of even a few days can be really detrimental to people like that, not to mention a few weeks, which is what they're seeing now. I think it's obviously early to say, and a lot depends on who, you know, what happens in the next election in terms of what the future of the post office is. There's always the fear that that the post office could be subject to a privatization effort if the political winds align, although that's been rumored to be right on the horizon for many decades, and it never really seems to get much of anywhere. So I think that's important context there. But, like I said earlier, if you want the post office to be profitable, that's a very difficult proposition if you also require it to serve every single American. And so I think we just have to figure out which of those two things is more important.
All right. That's Aaron Gordon, a senior writer for Motherboard, Vice's tech and science publication. Aaron, thanks so much.
Thank you.